Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Clark Croft United Methodist Church. It is great, even if I don't see you, to know that you are there. And I thank you so much for tuning in, and we get new visitors every week. We really appreciate your coming to service with us. Let us pray. God of love, plant in us the soil of your grace. Nurture us with the strength of Christ, the vine of everlasting life. Enlighten us with the wisdom of your Spirit, which flows through us today and always. Abide in us, that we may abide in you and live in your love. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.
Than silver or gold, I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather
let us bow our head for intercessory prayer. O God, we trust in your power, even as it is often found in weakness, in your wisdom, even it is expressed in seemingly foolishness, in your wholeness, even when it comes to us amid brokenness. Touch us this day, O Lord, sinners that we are, that we might become your saints, your body, your children, your church. Look upon the world today with your eyes of mercy. The world is in need of your healing touch, and in our faith in you we declare today the healing is coming. And with one voice, we all pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the wisdom, the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.
Jasper walls and bright golden avenues. As you behold all its beauty and its splendor, remember there's just one you made it through.
The scripture from today comes from Psalms 62, verses 1 through 8. And it reads, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence, they only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, all my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. O God, rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been so afflicted that everything in your mind and soul tells you God is your only hope? He's the only that can give you aid. He's the only one that can make it stop. He's the only one that can make it begin. I hope a lot of people today are recognizing that he is our only hope. To be brought to a place where God is our only real hope is a merciful experience. But I don't say this lightly, because almost always it is also a desperate experience. That means that we are just at the bottom of our souls, that sometimes we cannot even reach our hands out for help. Some external circumstance or internal crisis forces us into a place where their other comforts and hopes are removed or they simply fail us. In these moments, we deeply feel the weaknesses and vulnerabilities, and we usually long and plead with God for a way out. But it is in these seasons that enduring faith is forged. And usually, in retrospect, such experiences are the ones where we find that God really is our only rock, that our only real hope is from him. These moments can prove to be among the sweetest of our lives. We call these moments mercies. David was experiencing a season of depression when he composed Psalms 62. He wrote, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. He was in pain. He was conflicted. You might even say he was broken by the time he wrote Psalm 62. But he still found the words inside of him to know where he needed to go. David had many desperate experiences during his lifetime. He lived in a brutal age and endured tremendous pressures. He lived much of his adult life with the threat of death like a shadow over him. He lived for years as a fugitive, escaping King Saul's paranoia. He lived for years leading armies against aggressive enemy nations and guarding against espionage. The worst of all, he lived for years with the anguish of watching trusted friends and even his son turning to treacherous enemies who delighted in his troubles and conspired against him all in his life. If there's only one thing I have learned, is that seasons of desperation really teaches us what trust is. And they train us to actually trust in God even more. I believe that we are going through one of those seasons right now. But right from the beginning, David had made the Lord his trust. He declared in Psalms 40 and 4, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. Blessed is the man that makes God his trust. He refused to lift his hand against Saul, from whom the Lord had anointed king. You'll find that story on 1 Samuel 24:6. He sought the Lord guidance when it came to going to war, 2 Samuel 5:19. And when conspire against or defamed, he will not personally take revenge. And that's a full story in itself, 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. It is always easy for us to think of retribution. It's normal to want to, if not get even at just things. But you have to remember that God sees it all and knows it all. Everyone knew that he claimed to trust God. Therefore, God's name was at stake in how he conducted himself, the same as is at stake with us. We are ambassadors of Christ. If vengeance belongs to God, that's Deuteronomy 32:35, then he must trust God to preserve and vindicate him and not pursue it himself. This brings me to forgiveness. Every day, as our blessings are new every morning, our forgiveness needs to accompany those blessings. And what did God do for David? He allowed many situations that forced David to make the Lord his one and only trust, his one rock, his one source of salvation. He forced David to wait for him alone. But what was David feeling in the midst of those desperate experiences? Here is how he described it in Psalms 62, 3 and 4. He says, "How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse." David didn't seem to be feeling like his faith was growing stronger. He was feeling weak and vulnerable and fragile. He felt like an old stone wall bowing out and ready to crumble. He felt like a rickety old fence that could easily topple over. Sometimes, through different circumstances of life, we feel exactly like that. Instead of feeling that our faith is just walking with us forward, we think that something is holding us back. And we start to think that we don't have enough faith. But our faith is in the trust that we put in God Almighty. It's the trust that we have in Him. It's the trust that continually leads us towards a better tomorrow, and towards the confidence of heaven, and towards the assurance that God knows and He is in control. And that is what we need today. God's still in control. God is our hope, our salvation, our fortress. This is how often we feel when we're learning to make God our only trust. Test our faith often feels like moments of threat to our faith. We start to doubt how much we really believe the word of God. The things that you have said for years, all of the sudden comes to the moment of, well, now I'm going to have to believe by those words. For me, I always bring to my mind when things get difficult, and things get difficult for me just like for every one of you. This is the will of God for you now. This is not the will of God for all of us forever, but this is the will of God for us now, to have us in this position. And He's asking us to trust Him. And He gives us, through the readings of the Bible, words of encouragement. He let us know that there were people that suffer with doubt just like we do, but still they trust God. And that is what He's asking us to do today. Whatever form of adversity we're experiencing, It feels overwhelming. We too feel weak, vulnerable, and fragile. We are like going to topple. We feel like we're going to topple and crumble. We don't know if to go out. We don't know if to stay in. We feel that we've stayed in too long. We're really starting to, you know, go crazy, talking to the birds, expecting the pines to answer back, you know, looking as to the deer as our only company during the day. Am I the only one there? No, I'm sure not. But we all feel like that. There comes a moment when there's nothing else to do, and we just have to wait for God and trust him. So what can we do when we have moments like where we are right now? David showed us by putting on a clinic in Psalm 62. He preaches to his troubled, weak, and vulnerable, fragile soul, just like he can preach to ours. Psalm 62, 5 and 7, "For God alone, O my soul, waits in silence. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken." Those are words that at this moment in this season of our lives can give us comfort in moments in which we just don't know what the next day will bring, sometimes what the end of the day will bring. God is our refuge, our ever-present help in time of trouble. When the whole world has gone out on you, on me, on all of us, David preaches to himself, and this is why it's so important that you have your very own favorite verses of hope, comfort, and courage. You know that I believe in post-it notes because I cannot remember things. So my time for memorizing has long been gone. So all over my house, my refrigerator, the mirror, the bathroom, my coffee pot, because that's the first thing I touch in the morning, are full of little posties reminding me of the Word of God. If I need reminder, it's not for reminder's sake. It's not because I'm trying to remember and learn it. It's because I need, when I read it out loud, to hear it. It's sort of as when I declare it, it's as if I was wearing it, as if I was putting it on. It's a way for me to encourage myself that this too shall pass, and that God is in control above all. That God is in control. David, like us, when in pain, looks for a reason, but seeking and asking doesn't prevent him from holding on to what he knows to be true. He asks in Psalms 42 and 11, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." We all have those moments. We all have those moments and we just don't feel like praying, don't feel like talking, don't feel like, you know, maybe listening to a sermon in the radio or even a message from a friend. Even if it's encouraging, we just are at a point in which we just don't want to listen. Those are the moments in which we're trying to figure out why this, why now, why me, why them, what can I do, and realizing that there's nothing that we can do. So it is normal for us to ask the whys and the hows and the whens, but what is the one thing that can cover all those questions is your trust in God. Is to know and recite and remember and bring to your mind and say it out loud the promises that God has made to you and to all of us. All of God's promises are places of refuge, fortresses where we may flee when we feel weak. David is telling his soul to remember the source of his hope, which is God. More precisely, what God had promised him It's true that David's experience was unique in that God made specific promises to him, such as becoming Israel's king and receiving a throne that would be established forever through his offspring, 2 Samuel 7, 12-17. But for all the saints, all of us, hope in God is grounded on the promises of God, on the promises of Jesus. The promises of God, his word to us, is the fortress we flee when we are afraid. It's the place we run to. It's where we can hide until the storm passes. It's where we can just go for a word of consolation, for a word of hope, just for a hug, and sit there at his feet and say nothing, but you know that even at that moment, you're in the presence of the Lord. That's why David said it this way: when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, Psalms 56:3. David took refuge not only in the promises of God made specifically to him, he took refuge in the entire revealed word of God that had been provided up to that point. That is why in Psalms 19 it says, David spoke of every word of God's special revelation as having power to revive the soul, rejoice the heart, enlighten the eyes, and reward those who keep them. Psalms 19:7-11. That's the power of the word of God. That's the power that you will find in your reading time today. But the greatest truth is that all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20. It might delay. It might seem like it's not going to come. It might look too difficult to have any good at the end of it. But all the promises of God were given a yes in Jesus Christ. All God's promises are places of refuge, fortresses where we might flee when we feel weak, vulnerable, fragile. And I'll give you a few. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Romans 8:28 says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And we, church, have been called according to God's purpose. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. 1 Peter 5:10. This promise has sustained me more than once. And this promise is one we need to claim and remember today. When something or someone is threatening our hope and we feel on the verge of collapse, we must turn from looking at the threat and instead look to the source of our hope and say with David, declare with David, on God rest my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is my God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let the rain come and wash away threats of sickness. Let the rain wash away the memory of the pain of death that has reached us all. Then let the sun come out and fill the sky with rainbows. Let the indwelling of the Holy Spirit heal us. Wherever there is sickness, wherever we are broken, let it burn away the fog so that we can see you and see each other clearly. And let the mountains teach our hearts to reach upward to heaven, to trust that you're still watching over us, and to trust that you will walk us out of this season in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Before I give you this blessing from the Lord, I want to tell you that I miss you all, that I long to see you, I just cannot wait until we're all back together here, and I hope that it is soon. Continue to spend time with the Lord. This time that we have been given at this season of our life has to be for something else besides hiding in our houses. So let's continue to pray for each other. Let's continue to pray for the country, for those that are sick, and for those that are dying. May the Lord send a laborer to tell them about the kingdom of God. To those that are not saved, may they be saved through the promises of God. And now receive this blessing from the Lord. As we live today, going into a future as yet unmapped, take faith with you as you go in the parts of your life not yet traveled by love, into the parts of the world unexplored by grace. Let the compassion and hope of the roads that you follow be open to you and to others always. May you always be a blessing to everyone that you encounter. God bless you all.